spend any amount of time in Scripture and you come away with this understanding that God has identified a specific people group to be His chosen group of people. And those are the Israelites, the Jews. But once you get past the cross, the empty tomb, and the resurrection, and of course the ascension, things begin to change. All of a sudden, the door is open to the Gentiles. Well, how does that make the Israelites feel? How does that make the Jews feel? Well, that's where we're at today. Welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We're in Romans chapter 11, starting at verse 25 and working our way to the end. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon as we begin by looking at the offense the Jews had at God's move.
The Jews were filled with envy over this. And the persecutions and the struggles between Jew and Gentile, we really have to get into the first century here. We have to understand the world here. This was a very tense time, and there was a lot of struggle at this time. And Paul is very concerned in all of this now as an apostle to the Gentiles that the Gentiles are not becoming conceited because they don't understand why the hardening occurred. This is a big issue tonight, isn't it? We're not talking about a little issue. We attained, they didn't. Paul said that in Romans 10. That's big. And I suppose it's important to say that's, you know, to realize that's not the kind of stuff we're used to splitting over, by the way. Christians today divide over, well, everything that Scripture tells us not to. We divide over disputes over words. We divide over practices, two offices, three offices, common grace, two kingdoms, how to read and understand Genesis 1, versions of the Bible, how to understand Sinai. We just divide. And we don't show a lot of charity on these kind of things. Some of the divisions, obviously, in the Christian world are necessary. Paul said that. And when the word is directly violated, the Christian is called to take stands. The Christian is called to engage and contend earnestly. The Bible never says, and I just want to say this up front, that we promote peace at all costs at the expense of the truth. That is not what this is saying. But tonight, though, it's fascinating that on certain things that have never been viewed in the history of the church as essential, people separate out into their own groups, and in pride, the banner is waved that now the true church has been found. We have found the single true church, the only true church. Here's my point tonight. What Paul is dealing with is not a division over little issues. It's not any kind of debate on the things that we debate. This issue is at the very heart of having Christ or not having Christ. This is the gospel issue. This is the heart of what it is to receive the Messiah or to reject the Messiah. This is a true, false church, true discussion. Here's what Paul was facing. It's all the more powerful when you consider it's Paul. From the Jews, this is 2 Corinthians 11, five times I received 40 stripes minus one, three times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have been in the deep. He rehearses all of the problems of the Jews to him, and it was brutal. Think of this in 1 Thessalonians. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they did not please God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Wow. This is a big deal. The Jews filled up the measure of their sins by rejecting their Messiah and then persecuting these apostles who wanted to take it at the command of God to the Gentiles. Now here's Paul to the Gentiles. I don't want you conceited about this. I don't want you puffed up. I don't want you becoming wise in your own opinion about this because you don't understand the whole picture. If we're prone to disputes over the little things, what do you think the Gentiles were prone to in the early church over this? Think about that. If we fight over things that we shouldn't, what do you think the Gentiles did when the Jews were doing this? We've attained, they haven't. How dare they persecute us? We have Christ. They're the ones who've rejected the Christ. We're not the dogs now. They're the dogs. We have baptism. They are stuck in circumcision. Who are these outcasts to come after us? We have the true Messiah. They've rejected the gospel. They've turned from the gospel, but we have the gospel. They're stuck in the types. They're stuck in the shadows. They're doing the Old Testament worship. We're doing it in spirit and in truth. We're free. Ours is pure. Theirs isn't. You see it? I don't want you to start becoming wise in your own opinion, says the apostle, lest you start developing a pride that you came to this in your own power. That's the sense of this. In other words, if you understand what the Lord is doing, the approach will be a little bit different, won't it? The approach to looking at people will be a little bit different. And I believe we can understand this. History has taught us this. When the Reformation happened, which really parallels this. If you ever were to study it, it really does in so many ways. There was so much abuse for so long in Rome, similar to exactly what went on with the Pharisees. And when the gospel was recovered, I mean, the gates just opened and everyone was free. I mean, it was this remarkable day. What was the danger in that? Well, Luther described it. Luther was concerned about this. He described a spirit that developed in many of the enthusiasts as seditious. And think of what Paul's saying here, and I'll use Luther's words. They're ignorant. They're trained in revolt. They're infiltrators. They're crude, they're factious, rebellious spirits, messengers of the devil, rabble preachers. And then he said this, I'm not even sure what they do believe. Whoa. Freedom had come, and look at what happened. So they had been given that freedom, the freedom of the gospel. And there's a reason Paul would say, don't use that as a cloak for vice. Rome was labeled everywhere as a false church, and we have a series of articles on the definition of a true church, and amen. But what begins to happen in the true, you can become a little too truly confident in yourselves. Take this a little closer. When the URCs formed, what was the danger? Well, there was righteous anger to what was viewed as a slippery slope of the denial of the authority of Scripture, a new body forms. What's the danger? We've got back the true church. We've got it. And our identity could now easily become defined by that new freedom in the attitude taken against those who still remained in that. That's how we could easily view it. It's kind of like when an evangelical becomes reformed. All they tend to do is sit around and bash the evangelicals now. These aren't little things. This is a big thing. This is the gospel. And in all of these circumstances, the Jews, the Roman Catholics, whoever it might be of the Reform camp, the newly reforms, what is the danger here? That's what Paul's addressing. That's what Romans 11 is ending with. It's pride. Did you ever stop and think about this, says Paul? God hardened them for a purpose to bring in you. What if we thought about that all along the way? That means that what we receive came by grace, that God opened the door for us to receive the truth. And if we've received grace to know the truth, and God opened a door to the truth for the gospel, the last thing that should produce is hard, uncaring, cold people. If you had your house built on a slope, and there are all these other houses built on the slope, and somebody comes along who knows what's going to happen, and they tell you, they say, listen, you need to get off that mountain. You need to get off that mountain, because when the next rain comes, they're all, those houses, they're all coming down. They're all coming down. Your neighbors won't listen. Hey, but you move your house, you move your family, and you get it off the slope, and all of a sudden, one day, you know the rain is going to come, and they're all going to die. What kind of person would you be if you said, after you're safe, and your house is secure, and your family's good, my house is okay. My house is okay. Shame on them for not listening. Do you see the spirit of what Paul's warning against? That's Paul's concern. He said in verse 20, don't be haughty, but fear. Don't boast against the branches. What Paul was so concerned about is the Gentiles would lose the sight of the fact that everything they've been given, all of their understanding, any conviction they have of the truth was all grace. And grace excludes boasting, he said at the end of chapter 3. And if Gentiles started despising Jews, that arrogance would become the very thing that led in the first place to the pride that caused God to harden the Jews. It was that pride that led to their hardening, that kind of conceit. So all of this is to say tonight that Paul wants us to understand the mystery then. What is the mystery? Well, mystery here is not like a novel. Mystery is something that we would never have known unless God had made it clear by his revelation. He's made something really clear tonight for you. He wants you to understand this tonight. He wants to enlighten you as to what he's doing with the Jews and with you. And so all those statements that seem to indicate that Israel was done, that God was done, that Israel's final rejection by Christ, if not clarified, we would think those Jews get their deserts. But notice what he says here in verse 25. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Gentiles, there's a reason you're here. God is saying, I blinded them for you. I did that for you. I went ahead and I blinded them in the plan that I had planned through Father Abram so that you would be here and sit here tonight and hear the good news. But don't write them all off. Don't write them all off. Look back at them. I have a whole remnant there according to the election of grace that are coming in right now. You see, this is what is the spirit and the concern and the burden. I've got them coming in. Don't write them all off. Remember last week, that glorious truth? We would have never understood this had God not made clear this mystery to us. Remember verse 11? I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to you Gentiles. And then he went on to say, if their trespass is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Unbelieving Israel was hardened. God's purpose was to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, to open the door. The Gentiles here, a great number of Gentiles have come in today. The Jews get jealous. Through that jealousy, the chosen remnant comes back in through the Gentile witness. That's the mystery. That's what he's been explaining. And that's why Paul said, I magnify the ministry. I preach Christ to the nations because that will mean salvation for some of them. So notice how he emphasizes this tonight. Blindness has happened in part. It happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Here's the conclusion. Something that this means that at the very end, there will be a whole bunch of Jews who will be converted, a mass of them. Here's what Paul, I believe, is saying. Blindness in part, a partial hardening, has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and in that way, in that manner, all Israel will be saved. So are we going to see something happen over there? I don't know. I hope so. I hope that we see a whole nation turn to Jesus. Shouldn't that be our prayer? But he's not adding anything new here. He's already explained. God hardened the Jews. Right now there's a remnant. Gentiles are coming in. They've been brought into the olive tree. And through that Gentile inclusion, right now, many Jews are being born again. Right now. Right now. And he says, in this manner, Israel's being saved. Israel, all of Israel will be saved. Notice how he, to make sure we get this, rehearses that again in verse 30. Everything that I've said, he says it clearly again. Just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they may now receive mercy. Right now. Everything here in Romans 11 is focused on the present that they're coming in. God has consigned them all, verse 32, to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. And so in that way, every true Israel who are born again by the Spirit are going to be saved. Jews and Gentiles together. Gentiles brought in, Jews coming in now through the Gentile witness. And so together in this manner, in this way that Paul's explained, all of Israel will be saved. The fullness of the Israel of God. And I love that he cites Isaiah 59 here. The deliverer will come out of Zion and will turn away ungodliness from Jacob, that for this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. That's the new covenant. That's the Jeremiah 31. That's the day in which we live. That's now. And he just said when Jesus comes on the scene of history, he will deliver his people Israel. And Paul just explained, you're included in that. We live in the most glorious day of fulfillment. And, you know, as we look at this whole thing and this master plan that has been unveiled for us, I want you to think about how Paul closes this. What does it lead to? The whole master plan. You're here today. Jews are coming in through your witness, forming the fullness of the Israel of God. In this way, all Israel will be saved. That is so beautiful. The apostle is so taken with that. Notice how he ends this section. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and how inscrutable his ways. Oh, the ocean depths, the depths that can't be plummeted of God's wisdom and knowledge, his decrees and his ways, his sovereign decisions. They're completely unsearchable. No man could ever figure these things out. But look at how perfect his plan of salvation has unveiled itself to the ends of the earth. I love this tonight because the Apostle Paul has shown us along the way continual grief for his countrymen. And by the time this is done, thinking through this glorious plan of redemption to the ends of the earth, it overwhelms him to the point of breaking out in praise. Isn't this beautiful? What has been said of him all throughout the Old Testament, whatever was declared of God's great attributes, his wisdom, his infinite perfection, his knowledge, all of his ways unsearchable, his judgments past finding, all of it is proved true. All of it is proved true because he's not losing one of his Israel. And that when the Lord declared that the Lord God merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. When he said that after the golden calf event, he meant it. And it's shown to the ends of the earth. He's committed. And Paul says, all I can say is, who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? My joy is complete. I marvel in his ways of how everything is so perfectly worked out according to plan. And because of his faithfulness, because of his sheer goodness and mercy and love, I will praise him. I will praise him. Lord, you are my God, I said, Isaiah. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Therefore, strong people will glorify you. The city of the terrible nations will fear you, for you have been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat, for the blast of the terrible ones is a storm against the wall. Job said, behold, God is exalted in his power. Who is a teacher like him? Who has prescribed for him his way? Or who can say you've done wrong? Remember to extol his work, said Job, of which men have sung in times past. Paul concludes tonight, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. You have everything in Christ tonight. He's the source of your life. He's the goal of your life. He's the joy of your life. And you've been given him. That's the kind of the conclusion to both of the messages today, isn't it? Praise him for his everlasting love. Praise him in the heights, O angels. Praise him in the depths. Praise him, all you creatures. Praise him, sun and moon, stars. All that he made, let him praise the name of the Lord. And you know, as you walk out of here tonight, God told Israel so many times along the way, remember what the Lord has done for you. Remember that you were once Gentiles in the flesh. And that time you were without Jesus Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. May that produce in us a life of praise, that God has considered us and now given us the desire to see the gospel go to the ends of the earth, that all tribes, tongues, peoples, and nations would enjoy what you enjoy, the joy and the peace of the love of God to be called one of his children.
Well, we are out of time today, and we'll close today's program out. But look forward to seeing you next time we get together as we continue our studies here in God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon here on Abounding Grace. Questions, comments about the program, we always are delighted when you take a moment and reach out to us. You can do so by email, questions@agradio.org. Again, questions@agradio.org. Now, that may be the address, but you are more than welcome to send along suggestions, comments, praise reports, prayer requests, not just questions alone. Again, you can reach us at questions@agradio.org. You can learn more about us at agradio.org. Also, listen to past radio programs. Again, that's agradio.org. Or call us, 888-504-8805. Again, that's 888-504-8805. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Visit our website for those links to the platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. And then, as always, we are excited when our listening audience comes alongside of us financially, prayerfully, to help support the radio program. This is a listener-supported broadcast, and we are able to reach most of the United States as well as North Africa through your faithful partnership with us financially and prayerfully. We look forward to hearing from you and trust the Lord to direct you along those lines. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.